This is Neelan Parker. I'm interviewing Mr. Kroma at the National Elections Commission in Sierra Leone. If we could just begin by your telling me what your position was and what your role was during the elections.
I am Senior Elections Officer for the Southern Region. I also double as a District Electoral Officer for Bo. Bo Town is the second largest city in Sierra Leone after Freetown. And I also coordinate all district electoral officers within my region. In other words, I receive information from headquarters and I pass those information to them, in addition to my role as the district officer in Bo.
Perfect. And were there other jobs related to elections that you held before this one?
Before I am appointed as senior elections officer, I have worked in other districts. I was assistant elections officer in the north, in Tonkolili, and I was a district electoral officer in Pujaon, which is one of the districts also in the southern region.
Perfect. Could you tell me how staff members were recruited in the national elections offices that you were overseeing?
Well, first of all, there are permanent staff, and you also have ad hoc staff. Now, at district level, we have additional core staff, and basically there are three. You have the district logistics officer, you have the district voter education officer, and you have the district training officer. Now, these people were recruited from NEC headquarters, of course, through recruitment procedures, advertisements. They were subjected to a test, they were interviewed, and probably the best were selected. But we also recruit people we refer to as ward coordinators for the local government elections. Of course, last year they were called monitors, but for these local government elections, they were referred to as ward coordinators since the elections was based on ward basis. So we recruited them following the same procedures. First, we had to advertise, and some of those who worked in the 2007 presidential parliamentary elections were rehired because they already have the experience. And those that were not, who did not work last year, we advertised, they took examinations or tests, and then they were interviewed, and the best were selected. Those ones we did. And as you go down, you will see that in elections, a large number of staff were also recruited, like voter registration staff, polling staff. These people were recruited by these ward coordinators under my supervision.
How did you keep from having partisan people recruited?
Well, what we did is, first of all, we have a list of people blacklisted. These were people who worked for us before, but they committed crimes. They committed fraud during the election. So they were blacklisted, and we pasted their names, and we also distributed the list to the political parties and civil society people, so that if they see such people amongst us, they could point them out. But in addition to that, after every recruitment, the names of the people will be pasted in our notice board, which is public, and anybody can raise a question and say, oh, this person is a senior member of a political party, he holds this position, and I don't think he will be good enough to work for you. Because we believe that people who work for NEC, for us, should be impartial, should also be neutral. So we try as best as possible to avoid people who are partisan to work for us.
Perfect. Was the staff size adequate for the election? Did you have enough staff?
Definitely, yes. Yes, we do have enough staff. Now, for example, for training, you have the training officer, but it's also assisted by a UN training officer. So basically you have two of them. Then logistics, we have a training officer, a district logistics officer who is also assisted by a United Nations volunteer who assists him in doing that kind of work. Now when it comes to registration, you have three people manning one center, and they all do their work without any pressure. When it comes to pulling day activities also, you have enough staff. You have a center manager who takes care of the center. You have a presiding officer who takes care of the station. In addition to the station, to the staff, you have a ballot issuer, somebody who gives ballots to the people. You even have queue controllers, people who control the queues to ensure that you don't have any fighting within the queues. So as far as staff is concerned, we have enough staff to man all the activities in the process.
Perfect. How did you monitor staff from a distance?
That's very good. Now, first of all, operations come at a time. Now, during the training of staff, we move from center to center. That's the time we have an opportunity, first of all, to meet with those who have been recruited. And during training, we take time to talk to them, to give them what the commission expects of them. So in the process, we'll tell them, and we also give them our contact numbers if they face problems in the field. In addition to that, we work in close cooperation with civil society organizations like the National Elections Watch. When they see problems in the field, they contact us. And like on polling day, some of them, they have their own observers all over. If they see problems, they will call us and say, hey, this is what I have observed in this particular polling station in this town. And then we'll be able to respond immediately. If it is a matter that requires security, we'll inform the police, and the police will be able to move there almost immediately. Yes.
What steps were taken to protect poll workers from threats?
Well, we ensure that in every polling station, there is at least one police officer. The police, we are given support through UNDP to make sure that they deploy security personnel in every polling station.
What about not on the day? Were there any other steps put in place to maintain their security?
Yes. Steps were taken. The police, like for example, during campaigning, the police were all over. They were given support. I mean, to ensure that, you know, in this part of the world, sometimes violence erupts during campaigning. So they were given support. Even the NEC offices, you know, we receive security from the police. They were there 24 hours to ensure that there are no problems, because sometimes our offices can become places of threats. You know, if people are not satisfied with what is going on, they sometimes come to the office to cause problems. But because security is there, those kind of things do not occur. The police really they did a very good job in these elections.
The media during this period, was the media government controlled or independent? Were there lots of radio stations or only one?
There were several radio stations. In fact, majority of them were independent. They were not government controlled. And interestingly, the media, the one that is government controlled, does not, its coverage is poor. So in fact, it is the independent media that has a wider coverage, and that is the one people listen to more. In fact, like in Sierra Leone or in Bo, where I was, the UN radio is a major source of information for the people, in addition to the independent radio station.
And how did the NEC use media, either radio or newspapers or things like that?
Well, to be very frank, we do not. Like here in Freetown, maybe the chief of outreach will tell you, most times they will call press conferences. They will invite members of the print and electronic media in this same room, you know, to brief them, and they will write about it. For us in the districts, because print media is almost non-existent, we deal with the radio stations more. During the peak of elections, we use the radio stations. You know, we go there, we spend 1 hour maybe per week or every 2 weeks to talk to the people. And we also entertain phone-in programs. If the program is 1 hour, we discuss issues for 30 minutes. And for the next 30 minutes, we allow the people to make calls. They ask their questions and we respond to them. Yes. Luckily for us in Bo, at least we have a few radio stations. Yes.
Perfect. Was there any effort to use new media, meaning the internet or cell phones or things like that? I think probably not internet, but cell phones as a way to distribute information.
No. Cell phones, the only way, as I mentioned earlier, if we are in the radio station, we ask people to make calls through cell phones. They will call, they will ask questions, or they will make their comments, and we will respond to them. That's the way we use cell phones.
Okay. Yes. And what sources of information do you think people relied upon to make their voting decisions?
Well, our business is just to tell them on procedures, right? Now, the political parties, the candidates, they also use the media. They use the radio stations heavily to make their campaigns, because the radio stations are a bit, they're not expensive if you compare to the number of people they are able to reach. And sometimes they hold community meetings, you know, in the neighborhoods, in the villages, you know, to reach the people. But the use of the radio station in particular is very, very wide. I mean, all parties scramble for airtime during the election period.
Was that regulated at all? Was there any sort of political parties must each have this amount of time for air coverage?
Well, the radio stations, they give airtime. That one is regulated. But these radio stations also are commercial radio stations. If you come and pay, they are not worried about it. That. As long as you pay, they will give you airtime. But what they give, in fact, they do it in such a way that if it is 1 hour, they invite all the political parties. All of them come and sit together. That is what they do. But what you come and pay for is different. But what they give as their own support to the process is done equally.
Perfect. In terms of election disputes, were there any disputes that came up in your region, election disputes?
Yes, those things are almost inevitable.
Of course.
Yes.
Could you tell me what the process was for dealing with them?
Well, we have what we call the Political Parties Registration Commission, and it's one of its responsibilities is to mediate between the political parties. And for us, we always have a member of NEC in each district who represents us in that committee. We have what we call the District Monitoring Committee. Now, if there is an issue amongst the parties, you know, they will call meetings, they will address the issue, and they will mediate. You know, they will call the parties concerned, the leadership of the parties concerned, they will talk to them, they will mediate between them and ensure that things are resolved amicably.
And how well did that function?
I think it was excellent, because during this period we did not have a situation that went out of hand. Yes.
That's fantastic. Okay, were there penalties that people put on people for violating?
Well, most times it's just to name and shame them. If somebody does not go according to the code of ethics, they will say it publicly in meetings. For example, there was a time when some paramount chiefs were kind of intimidating people, you know. And so a meeting of paramount chiefs was called in the region, and the regional officer of the Political Parties Registration Commission was very strong on the paramount chiefs. And she was telling them that this is what we have had, and we have confirmed it, and we will not be ashamed to say it. And it was said publicly, and some of the chiefs were a bit angry, but their colleagues, you know, had to apologize and said, it is true. Some of these things you are saying, it is correct. It is not all of us, but some of us are doing it. But we will talk to them, and we know that these things will not happen again. So one of their measures they take, actually, is just to name and shame them in public gatherings or on radio. Yeah. Well, I think it has been working.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Were you part of creating the messages that you, in terms of voter and civic education, that you distributed to the people?
Well, the printed messages, mm-hmm. I was not part of them, but at our own level, since right. I was in charge of my own district, the messages that we are created, I was part and parcel of it. In fact, I was always on radio, I was always with the voter education officer to ensure that we were able to reach the people, because voter education was a critical factor in the last elections. There were complaints prior to the election that people did not understand polling procedures or the awards, you know. So we had to make it a priority to reach the people.
Were there any groups of people that were particularly hard to reach?
Yes. There are some people who live in very remote areas. Even the radio stations, they don't cover them. Even communication like cell phone coverage, you know. So for those kind of people, you have to go there physically and talk to them. Otherwise, you are unable to reach them by phone or by radio.
Were there steps taken to work particularly with women and youth or other kind of marginalized groups?
No, there were steps taken particularly to work with women. In fact, in these elections, the women receive more support than any other elections I have seen in this country, because there were several organizations that came to promote the women candidates, like NDI, IFES. These organizations poured a lot of money just to ensure that women were given a chance.
And do you think it was effective?
I think so, because first, the political parties increased their quota on women candidates, and looking at the results also, there is an increase in women councillors if you compare that to the last time local government elections were held.
Do you think in the next election, if IFES and NDI are not here, that the quotas will still remain and that there will still be higher participation of women?
We live in a society in which the people need to be constantly reminded. I think if IFES and NDI continue to do it, I think it will be helpful. But if they ignore, it might be difficult. It might be difficult. I think so.
Perfect. And the final question is, what do you think was the role of this election in the democratic development of Sierra Leone?
This election is very, very important because, you see, local government elections, first of all, is for the grassroots people. You know, these are people like councillors, they represent people in the interior, people who are not people who go to parliament, but yes, as regards the contribution of these elections, let us also note that these elections were conducted with little support from the international community. And also, it's also the first time or the second time elections have been conducted in the absence of the UN peacekeeping force. And the peaceful nature of the elections and the way the results have been accepted has gone a long way in building democracy in Sierra Leone. You know, it's also shows the level of maturity of the commission and also the people. We are now in a position to administer credible elections that are acceptable to the people of Sierra Leone, you know. And that is very, very important. The kind of confidence people now have over the Electoral Commission, and, you know, as one of those institutions responsible for building democracy in Sierra Leone. I think that is just very good for us.
I want to thank you so much for this interview. Your information was very helpful, and as I said before, if you have any questions, you have the card with you with all of the information. So thank you again.